theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
Aloha world, aloha Quinn, how are you doing?
Aloha my love, I'm good, how are you?
I'm very good, thanks. I'm excited for this topic, though I do recognize it could be considered quite controversial.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, but it is an interesting topic. It's a little bit different than what we normally, you know, discuss, yeah. But I do think that it's very relevant to the social, you know, zeitgeist of what it is today. And I know a lot of people who are listening are going to know what we're talking about.
Yeah, and when I reflect on our time at OSU, to me this was an item that was very, very popular in the community, as well as something that was heavily related to both of our majors, mine being entrepreneurship and yours being design.
Yeah, design. That's very true. And consumer behavior.
And consumer behavior. Yes, very, very true. So I kind of wanted to bring it up. And the product that we're discussing, or the company, is called Juul. If it's the company, it's called Juul Labs. But if it's the product, it's called a Juul.
Juul.
And I think it's quite trendy with the younger generation, much less so currently. And we'll get into that. But for those of you who have heard of it, maybe used it, this will be, I think a lot of you will find this interesting. I always am very fascinated by how a product came to be. What is the story behind it? Hence why one of my favorite movies is The Social Network, the other one being Jobs. I love learning about how companies are created, and Juul's no different, in all honesty.
It was a huge disruption to a very old traditional industry, the tobacco industry. It was huge.
Massive industry.
And I'll just caveat this by saying we're going to talk about this, and we're really trying to talk about this more from like an entrepreneurship design product innovation standpoint.
Absolutely.
We are definitely not condoning using it, and we're not trying to encourage you to. We're just basically looking at this from more of like a business standpoint.
I'm really glad you said that.
Yeah.
Well said. So this company, it all started in 2005 at a university that we've been able to hang out there a little bit, the Stanford University. And this was specifically at their graduate program in the design school.
Oh, that D school. It's the best.
Yeah. And we are just fascinated. So the D school was primarily funded by Steve Jobs, I believe.
Yep. Yeah. It was really kind of the brainchild of David Kelly, who also helped start this design firm called IDEO.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually one of the, definitely the guy who invented the mouse. I think that's what he's probably most known for. But since then, he's made such a huge impact in the world of design, but not just design. It's also educating individuals to go on to be really amazing designers. So he went to Steve Jobs and he said, hey, you know, would you, you know, want students to come out of Stanford who have a degree in entrepreneurship? He said, no, I would rather them be specialized, but understand the concept of entrepreneurship. But I would really like to see like more engineers get better at design, you know, and like more different majors getting, you know, involved with that, at like a very, you know, elementary level, and like see them take that on into their future. So he was really supportive of it. And it's honestly now become one of the best, you know, institutions within the Stanford Institution that, you know, people just, the amount of innovation that comes out of this, it is pretty amazing.
It's seriously incredible. So some of the products that have come out of David Kelly's program includes a desk, like a student's desk, and they're on wheels. They're perfectly designed. We actually had some at OSU, and it allows you to move the classroom into different smaller groups. It saves so much space by allowing you to put your backpack underneath it, yet it's still on the wheels themselves. It's just really, really, really well designed. And I like to see all of his products because they are so different, so advanced, and sometimes it's from him, sometimes it's from his team, and sometimes it's from his students.
Yeah.
And this example of Juul was two students, and this was in 2005, which is a long time ago.
That was a long time ago.
I know, but, you know, we were in high school, but it takes a long time for products to get to full fruition. So this is created by Adam Bowen and James Monsees, and they were at Stanford Design School being normal college kids. And at that time, they were kind of getting into heavy cigarette smoking. So they both came from different backgrounds. Like you said, the design school really emphasizes having different types, a diverse group of individuals. And these two did not have much background in design specifically, but they wanted to make that their graduate program for their future degree. And so they went into there, and they originally just kind of started clicking because during breaks they would have a few cigarettes. And as they were discussing it, they realized that cigarettes are such an old, I wouldn't even call it a technology, but it's such an old industry that is so bad. And every time that they hit it, supposedly, they would feel a sense of guilt every time they hit a cigarette.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because one of the founders had his family significantly influenced by their addiction to cigarettes. And so they took on the challenge of creating a healthier cigarette, a way to help people transition from basically combustion of tobacco leaves with paper and chemicals to something that would not harm the lungs as much. And this is where it gets a little bit debatable. How much of that was to help transition people to quit completely, and how much was that to allow people to enjoy the same feelings of having a cigarette but feel less guilty about doing so? And that, I don't know. That's up
that's
for debate.
Debatable,
and
if
you ask them, I think that they will argue that they were trying to help get people off cigarettes. But maybe if you asked them back then, it would have been a little bit of a different answer. So from there, in 2005, they came up with their very first design, and it was called Plume, and it was dry leaf tobacco vaporizer. So you put the dry leaf in there, and then it would vaporize it, and you would get it. But because it's vaporizing, it's not actual combustion. It's kind of just giving you the vapor air. So you get a lot of the nice feelings, like you're feeling as if you hit a cigarette and you're getting the nicotine boost, but you're not necessarily getting all the full-on smoke that you normally get from a cigarette.
Right.
So the Plume eventually became PAX, and this all happened after they finished their thesis. Their thesis was on one of these devices. And then once PAX Labs, they shifted from looking at dry leaf tobacco getting vaporized to more so focusing on liquid vapor created in little pods. And that's when they started to create Juul, which was originally just going to be a side business from PAX Labs. And this is where the innovation really, really came together. They, one, wanted to make sure that the product itself looked nothing like a cigarette. And two, they wanted to make sure that this product really got people to feel as close to as possible as if they were hitting a cigarette. And that is unlike anything at the time. I mean, there's other vapors out there, but they were really focused on those two aspects. And so they focused on how can they make this product one of a kind. And the design of the product is incredible. I mean, you've seen it.
Yeah, I mean, it just looks like a piece of technology.
It looks like a, a long USB.
Yeah, it does. It looks exactly like a long USB. And the way that they designed it is that you charge it kind of like you would like a USB almost, you know?
You could plug it into your computer.
You could plug it into your computer, And I remember seeing it all over campus, like people having their like little plug-in device for their Juul in their computer, like at the library and stuff like that. So it was like super inconspicuous. Like I knew what it was, but any adult walking by wouldn't even think twice about it, you know?
And I have to say, it is a beautiful design. I mean, you really look at it and you think, wow, that looks really attractive. It has one little single dot where the light is, and while you're hitting it, a green light turns on. When you stop hitting it, it needs battery. That same light can change to yellow to dark red when it needs charging. It also can flash like multiple colors as well, which is like pretty amazing technology on just this little tiny dot. And it just, it looks really good. And the whole design is when you need to get new liquid, you buy the pod itself. So it really was a really smart business, because now you're forced to buy their pods themselves versus having the ability to go and buy whatever flavors you want.
Yeah. So I think like context at the time too, like in the industry, there was kind of a little bit of a disruption of more and more tobacco products that mm-hmm. were vapor, right? Yep, and yep. they were really not very well designed. They died. I mean, you had to like, it was basically like you, a lot of them you buy and you throw away, or you buy and you refill with like random juices and you don't really know how good the quality is. And so I think really these guys used, from a design standpoint, very much like an Apple method in a way, mm-hmm. really sleek, clean cut, you know, minimalist stripped down design, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So easy. You don't need instructions for how to do no. this, you know,
yeah.
like it's all very much giving you feedback for exactly what you need to do.
For sure.
And, it really, what they did is they designed a better vehicle for consuming nicotine.
Yep.
And they did it in a way where their business model was very much like a printer cartridge, you mm-hmm. know,
exactly.
business. And yeah. so in a way, I mean, it is very much kind of like Apple. Like if you're going to buy the iPhone, well, you know, I'm going to get a Mac too. I'm going to get, you know, you basically want the whole thing. It's very much different than the whole cartridge idea. But that mm-hmm. cartridge idea was kind of the like, you're controlling for quality now,
yeah.
you know? So you're trying to market it and design something as a really quality, minimalist, cool thing mm-hmm. to have. And by controlling the juice or the pods that are in it,
that's where your profit's
at. That's where your profit's
sure.
all at.
So
yeah.
it was very impressive when it came out. And like I was mentioning, they wanted to make sure that it was as similar as possible to hitting an actual cigarette. And the way that they did that was based on their formula for the liquid itself. And so all other liquids, they had nicotine in it. But the delivery system in which Juul did it was through what's called nicotine salts. And the nicotine salts provide an instant hit of the nicotine, and then it goes down gradually. Whereas other vapor cartridges, it would be more gradual going up and then a lower, the same rate going down.
Mm-hmm.
And so because the initial spike, that was really, really similar to what you experience when you hit a cigarette. And that's what got people so insanely addicted to these
yeah.
little Juuls. And the kind of, I don't want to say, was the big part of their rise. So they launched in 2015, and their big rise was their marketing. And
oh, yeah.
Their marketing, if you actually look at it side by side to some of the, I don't know, early 90s, 80s type of cigarette marketing,
yeah.
you can see the similarities of how they made Juul look really cool.
Young, cool, attractive
yeah.
people.
Cool, like K-O-O-L,
yeah.
if you know what I'm saying.
I do, yeah.
And so they really were kind of finding the little gap in the market that cigarettes could not, you know, they can't advertise yet. When was the last time we saw a cigarette commercial?
Yeah.
But they were able to do that because it was vaping, and they focused on marketing through social media. And in doing so, using these bright colors and these young models, they were able to pick up the very young market, a lot of which were under the age of 18.
Yeah. And so this is where we get into the ethics of, you know, their business. So like, we're like, okay, this is a very good, you know, the design is good. The business model's good. I mean, we all know how addictive nicotine is. So mm-hmm. like, you obviously are already delivering a product that is going to continually bring in new more and more customers.
Yeah.
And you are, in a way, I think, if you like, it's debatable as to what the motivation for starting it, but if it is to get them off regular cigarettes, which are so incredibly bad for your health, mm-hmm. and onto something that kind of transitions them off, maybe, or mm-hmm. at least helps their lungs to not get filled with smoke, right? Yeah. That's one thing. But now here we are in the marketing department,
yeah.
right? And this is where it gets kind of it's very questionable, because
yeah.
really, I mean, if you do look back in those like 80s and 90s old cigarette commercials, it is very much targeting young people, and young
yeah.
people are very, that's like when you get them,
that's
right?
When you're
that's where you're the most influenced. Yeah.
yeah.
And I
influenced.
Think that the way that they marketed, it wasn't just the photos and the images and the video and all of the marketing and branding. It was also the direct targeting on certain platforms that they went towards,
mm-hmm.
Specifically Instagram.
Yeah, definitely.
And like, even if you're saying it's just for people 18 and older, I mean, mm-hmm. how do you know it's a high schooler?
Yeah.
You know, like you're still in high school. Like
right.
you're basically targeting people who may or may not have ever tried nicotine.
Yeah. So were they intentionally targeting them or not? That's the debatable aspect. A lot of people think they were intentionally doing it. I don't know. In all honesty, we do not know. Only they know.
Well, the truth is I think when it comes to marketing,
mm-hmm.
it's very, it's very basic. You have to find a niche. You mm-hmm. have to find a target market. You have to appeal to that target market. Yeah. And if you just look at what it is, if in the early days of their marketing, mm-hmm. how they targeted mm-hmm. and what they created, there is absolutely no doubt that they were not targeting a 50-year-old smoker.
No,
they were absolutely targeting, probably targeting really young like
college
people.
Students.
Yeah.
And in doing so, you're targeting the next group of college students.
Exactly. Now, were they trying to convert people who have never smoked at a young age over? Not really, but unintended consequences. You got to be careful when, you know, you're working with stuff like that is as addictive as nicotine is. Yeah. But the other interesting thing about their marketing and branding too mm-hmm. was, yes, it was very much geared towards young people mm-hmm. and making it cool and stuff like that.
Right.
But they also, even in their products, were making it like, you know, like mango flavor, like these like juicy, like mango, candy kind of
fruit
flavors.
Punch
yeah.
And creme brulee.
Which is like, okay, what are you, that's not a cigarette. Like, that's basically like, what are you, you know, you're vaping a flavor it's that is very
similar to like a candy.
To a candy. It's just something that someone young would really, really like.
Yeah. So if you were smoking cigarettes, why would you be transitioning from smoking tobacco to smoking mango vapor?
Exactly.
And that's a very valid point. And so this is where all of a sudden high school students were doing this all the time. I mean, it's so inconspicuous, these little jewels. It's easy to do it in the classroom right there with the teacher.
Yep.
And I've seen people, lots of our students, have them on charge while we're teaching in the class. I don't know if they hit them because, you know, I'm not trying to look out. I'm not security here.
I have no idea, yeah.
But at the same time, like if they're charging it right there, that's kind of an indication as like this is something that was super prominent in the younger generation. And in high school, that's where it's a big problem. People were getting super duper addicted to this. And they had to kind of backpedal a little bit because they were growing at such a rate. And as more younger individuals were hitting it, they would share it with their friends and their friends. And it honestly, it went viral in its own weird, strange way.
It did.
And so by 2018, towards the end, it was worth $38 billion. In 2018, they had 68% of the total vape market. And before that point in time, it was pretty much free market with vaping. There's vape stores all over the United States of America selling so many different flavors. You can kind of customize your own vaping experience. But this one took over. And a large part of that was due to being available to purchase in numerous gas stations around the United States.
Yeah, super interesting. I mean, I can't believe that they actually gained 68%.
I know. It's really, really
that is,
significant.
I mean,
$38 billion in just a few years. I mean, that was just 3 years from starting Juul.
Has there ever been another company that disrupted such like a legacy industry that quickly?
Well, we're not quite at the point of saying that it's fully disrupted because the story gets interesting because as you gain more attention and you become so dominant in your own industry, you also get eyes. And when it's disrupting an industry that's already been heavily regulated, now they're kind of getting hit really, really hard because at 2018, it kind of started to go down and why, like the value of the company. Hmm. And that's primarily due to the fact that all these individuals were starting to see how addicted these young under 18 individuals were getting to the Juul. And in doing so, they wanted to implement further regulations. So this is when they're going and presenting in front of the Senate, describing like what their intentions are or were. Mm-hmm. And this is when they start changing all their marketing to get rid of all the mango and fruity flavors. Yeah. They only have mint and regular tobacco. And if you want to get the product online, you had to go through a whole verification system. They really, really stepped it up big time to make major changes. Simultaneously, this is like 2019, vaping was really started to look at as a bad thing.
Yeah.
If you kind of remember, there was some people that ended up dying. There's about 8 people that died in the United States of America. And though those individuals were later to be found dead due to smoking marijuana cartridges that were sold on the black market, it just made vaping look bad all over.
Yeah.
And so, and a lot of those individuals that did die from smoking those black market cartridges, they were Juul smokers as well.
Mm.
And so this just made the company look bad. And so they did get a large investment. I think it was right at the beginning of 2019. And then it's just kind of just been crumbling down and down. And I mean, now if you fast forward all the way to like 2020, it's like, oh man, we got a disease that's going around that attacks the lungs. Right. So this is a very, very interesting story that is still developing as far as like a story goes for like, you know, biography on the company itself.
Right.
This is one that is not done yet, but I'm trying to figure out where it's going to go from here, because I really do think if we look at the cigarette industry, cigarettes are such an old thing.
Yeah.
I mean, literally it's so old to think that there was doctors who were promoting it in commercials. Like, this is my choice of a cigarette. And now we just started a new era where they were starting to get people to transition to a healthier form of smoking. But is it healthier? I think so. Is it healthier to not smoke versus doing Juul? Definitely not. Yeah.
It's healthier to not.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I don't know how that came out.
Yeah. But no, 100%.
And so is it a good transition? How is this going to evolve? I mean, I would not be surprised if in 10 years we don't see cigarettes being sold in gas stations.
Mm.
Maybe 10 years is a little bit soon, but it's still such a prominent thing right now. People are smoking cigarettes all over. I mean, we're in Florida, and I don't know if people in Florida smoke a lot of cigarettes or what,
yeah,
but we see it all the freaking time.
I know.
And I do think that for those who are smoking packs a day or packs a week, it would be better for them to transition to a different technology. But at the same time, they haven't found the long-term negative effects of the Juul. Mm-hmm. And therefore, should it be suggested that they go that route, or is it better for them to just stick with what we know the long-term effects are of smoking cigarettes?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's definitely a good question right now, specifically, like you said, because this disease really does attack people with lung issues.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's really, really bad. And I remember also reading a couple of studies that came out, maybe it was around that time in 2019,
mm-hmm,
where they were reporting signs of like this thing called popcorn lung, right?
Yeah,
where essentially, right, you know, the idea was, oh no, smoking vape doesn't hurt your lungs at all.
Mm-hmm.
But as they were researching it more and more, especially after those kids died, it was like really dire that scientists were trying to like figure out what the heck was going on.
Yeah.
Even though that had nothing to do with vape like Juul,
mm-hmm,
it did get people really scared and wanting, yeah, to know what the heck is this actually doing to people, because we don't really even know, right? Yeah. We know what cigarettes are doing to people, but we don't really know what this is doing, especially
long-term
to kids, to long term.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did find that there is, I mean, it's definitely on a lower scale of damage, but it's still damaging your lungs. And
yeah,
so, I mean, now it's like no one should do anything, but
no,
obviously nicotine's,
sure,
like one of the most addictive drugs that you could be latched onto. And I think to me, this is one industry where I'm grateful. One of the very few industries I'm grateful for regulation, because,
yeah,
really, it's really too bad how many high school kids, like they actually were, I remember also reading a couple of articles where they were saying that the amount of teenagers in the United States who were addicted to nicotine was dropping like at rates like ridiculous until Juul came along.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden it's like back to like the 1950s again, like where teenagers are smoking, they're doing nicotine. Like,
yeah,
it, they don't even call it, they're like smoking. They just like, they're Juuling, you know,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
a totally different thing. But it was really unfortunate that this young generation who would probably have never done nicotine,
mm-hmm,
like way less likely to go and buy cigarettes.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Were actually really encouraged at even a younger age. I mean, you're talking about like 12 years old too.
Yeah,
like,
no,
you know, where people, like, they would never have gotten addicted to it, but like because of their marketing and stuff like that. So that's where the regulations are a good thing. Like,
yeah,
okay, get rid of the stuff that's appealing to kids and all that stuff. But it's, it is a better technology. You're,
yeah,
right. And when you travel around the world, cigarettes are so cheap.
Yeah.
They're really expensive,
it's
here, because
so
we tax the heck out of them,
yeah,
for good reason, to,
mm-hmm,
like try to say like, you shouldn't probably spend your money on this crap.
Mm-hmm.
But in other countries around the world, I mean, you can get them like for like
less
than a dollar
in certain countries, for,
yeah,
sure, like
and,
Cambodia.
And that's where a lot of the big cigarette companies are really targeting over there too. And,
yeah,
I remember, I'm not sure which one,
mm-hmm,
but there was a big tobacco company that actually did buy a stake in Juul. Is that correct?
Yeah, the one of the big major tobacco companies that's involved with like Marlboro and all the other big players, they bought a huge stake. That's what helped get it evaluated at $38 billion of you know, value for a Juul company, Juul Labs. And it is amazing that they were able to get to that point. But then ever since, they have been falling really, really fast. It's just a matter of kind of what's going on in the world and kind of maybe taking it too far.
Yeah.
And then kind of getting to this point where a lot of news is saying like they're going up in smoke. Now they're getting sued like crazy. Yeah. They had to let go of 3/4 of their total employees.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, a large part of that definitely is going to be through the pandemic. You know, that changed a lot of things for a lot of different industries. But when you think about how many people were smoking Juul in the classroom, one, now you're not in the classroom. And two, if you're smoking, that means you're not wearing a mask. And three, if you're smoking, you're putting yourself at even more risk when there's a disease that attacks your lungs. Yeah. So where are you going to kind of play with the Juul? Well, it's not worth it. You're not going to play with it. You're going to just take your time to do what's most healthy. I mean, in all honesty, for you and I, we have been the healthiest like we've ever been. I mean,
absolutely.
I'm trying to get exercise every day. I think it's important for us also to give full disclosure. Have I ever hit a Juul before? Yes, I have hit a Juul before. Yes, I'm not going
to
lie about it.
Yeah, we've both tried it, and we've both tried a cigarette before.
Yeah, we have tried cigarette. When we first tried a cigarette, we were in like Nicaragua. Yeah. I mean, this was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago,
and then the last time I remember having a cigarette was in Morocco, and it was just like a normal thing being in the souk and with the guys, and then we would share one together. But then we thought about vaping, and we tried just regular vaping, and then when we saw the Juul, it was just amazing the jump in technology. But then as soon as we left for Thailand and got rid of graduate program, it was like, let's just be free from it. And I haven't smoked a cigarette in ages now.
Well, I think there's nothing better than a pandemic to make you realize, like, what are your unhealthy habits that you should probably change? And especially when, you know, it really doesn't add that much to anyone's life. Right. That's the thing, is like what Juul did, why we're even talking about it. Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't like a confession of like all the things that I've done. This is basically like, here's a business who tried to solve a problem, did solve a problem actually with better design, much better design. Unfortunately went a certain route that made them become heavily regulated. But look, here's what happens when you're dealing with a drug that is so addictive.
Yeah.
If you're in, you're trying to innovate a space and your intentions are relatively good initially, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is like nicotine, the whole point, the limitation to business is like, in order for you to actually expand the business, you have to get new customers.
Yeah.
And it's not a good, healthy thing to convince someone to become addicted to nicotine.
Yeah.
And so really, I mean, the bottom kind of fell out for them, especially with the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, kids are with their parents aren't going to let them buy it. You know, like they're not with their friends.
In a rock and hard place, because they can only succeed also if they can prove that it's significantly healthier than smoking a cigarette. And because they don't have the long-term effects, you know, tested, they can't actually say that explicitly.
Yeah.
And so therefore, they can't really say, you know, don't smoke cigarettes, smoke this new technology that hasn't been fully tested yet.
Yeah.
And we think it's going to be healthier because it's not combustion. And in that part, I do think they got right.
Yeah.
Because it's not combustion and it is vapor, I do think that part of it is healthier. But what about the popcorn lungs? What about all these other things that could
so
come out of it?
Studied. I think also that the truth is you're dead right. Like they could have come out and said like, hey, we're going to test this. And I think this is going to be the solution to really get a lot of people off of the really bad stuff.
That's not how Silicon Valley works.
Not how Silicon Valley works. Like, despite all the altruistic claims that everyone just like consistently makes.
Yeah.
Two, like, says a lot about our society too. Like, if someone came out of Silicon Valley and said, hey, I've done all this research, all of the cigarette smokers, no kids, nothing, only targeting cigarette smokers and say, hey, use this technology. It's better than the nicotine patch.
Yeah.
And it's going to get you off of the really bad stuff that's going to kill you.
Right.
That's not cool.
Yeah.
That's not cool. That has a lot to, like, the way that they marketed was exactly reflective of our culture and our society on social media.
Yeah.
It's, they killed it. They hit it dead on. They made smoking cool again.
Yeah.
They did.
It's crazy story.
It's crazy. I
mean, it went from 0 to 38 billion in 3 years. And now I don't even know where it's going to go. I think they're honestly at a point where it is possible that they actually go bankrupt.
I believe that.
With the amount of different districts that are suing them right now, they could actually go bankrupt. And when was the last time you heard a story of a company getting evaluated at $38 billion and then they go bankrupt? It's not too
not
often.
Very often.
Yeah. So this is an interesting story. I think I'm excited to see where it goes.
Yeah.
I do think, in my humble opinion, I do think that we will see cigarettes kind of getting out of the market, as like younger generations are probably going to go towards newer technology if they're going to have some form of nicotine intake. But I don't know how this is going to go, because like I said, it's a rock and a hard place. If you can't figure out the long-term effects of it, the negative effects, then how can you clearly state that you're a better way to intake nicotine than cigarettes? Very yeah. interesting.
It is really interesting. And you're very right about Silicon Valley. I mean, the whole idea of like move fast, break things.
Mm-hmm.
This is
apologize
later.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do if you've already hooked a whole bunch of kids who are in middle school and in high school on nicotine, and that's your fault? There's no one else to blame but you. And that's not a good thing. That's not something you want on your conscience. So I think, you know, when design, this is a really great example of how design can really disrupt industries and actually try to make it better, you know, like not just from a design standpoint, but actually make the product much better.
Yeah.
But obviously it's a good lesson to learn too, to like, there's a reason why, you know, I'm always of the mind beta test, got to test, experiment, repeat, test, experiment, pivot, you know, whatever it is that you need to do, because if you move fast and break things, you're going to have, I mean, there are unintended consequences regardless of what we do, right? Things that you can't foresee, but at least you can test it a little bit out. And especially when it comes to industries like this, research is really good.
Yeah.
Research and experimenting is good, but good design and marketing, wow, what an impact they had.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. So I'm glad I could have that little discussion with you.
That
I
was
find
cool.
it fascinating how businesses are created, and you know, this is an ongoing story. I'm looking forward to seeing how it evolves, but I think it's one that's worth sharing with our wonderful friends.
Agreed. And you know what? Be cool. Stay in school. Don't do drugs.
Yes. And we hope you all have a wonderful day. We appreciate you listening. If you have a moment, feel free to subscribe, and we will talk to you tomorrow.
See you then. Bye. Bye.
Enjoy this.